Welcome to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is July 13th, 2026, and this is episode number 455. We are looking back at the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, July 12th.
We have a very AI-heavy lineup today, which makes sense given the massive shifts we are seeing in coding agents right now. We are going to talk about a fascinating token overhead comparison between Claude Code and OpenCode, a pretty alarming security teardown of xAI's Grok build CLI, and some thoughts on AI hype from legendary hacker George Hotz.
Plus, we'll look at how Fields medalist Terry Tao is using modern coding agents to revive software from 1999. And finally, we'll pivot to browser fingerprinting, specifically how a tiny change to a mouth function in Chromium 148 is leaking your underlying operating system.
Let us kick things off with that token overhead story. A company called Systema published a deep dive comparing Anthropic's Claude Code with OpenCode. They put a logging proxy between the coding agents and the model endpoint to see exactly what was being sent over the wire, and the results are wild. Claude Code sends about 33,000 tokens of system prompt, tool schemas, and injected scaffolding before it even reads your prompt. OpenCode sends about 7,000.
That is a massive difference, Sarah. It means that if you ask Claude Code for a one-line reply, you are still paying for a 33,000 token preamble. Systema noted that Claude Code is basically running a massive platform bootstrap. It loads 27 different tools, background agents, worktree management, all this heavy scaffolding. OpenCode just loads 10 classic coding tools in a simple system prompt.
Right, and it gets worse when you look at caching. OpenCode's request prefix was byte identical in every run, meaning it could be cached once per session and read back for pennies. Claude Code, on the other hand, rewrites tens of thousands of prompt cache tokens mid-session. It wrote up to 54 times more cache tokens than OpenCode on the same task.
The comments on Hacker News really dug into the practical realities of this. A user named MCV pointed out that sub-agents are the real budget killers. They gave Claude Code a big task, and it immediately launched 7 sub-agents that burned through their API budget before a single one finished. Every sub-agent has its own bootstrap cost.
That explore versus exploit dynamic is so interesting. One commenter noted that the newer frontier models like Claude, Fable 5, have their dial turned way up toward explore. That curiosity is great if you want to leave no stone unturned in a complex code base, but it is incredibly inefficient if you just want it to write the code and try compiling it.
Exactly. Someone mentioned they have to explicitly tell the agent to stop tracing through the program logic and just try running the code. It is funny because that is exactly what human developers do when we get lazy. We just run it to see what breaks. But the AI is trying to hold the entire state in its context window.
The thread also sparked a debate about vibe coding versus what one user called audit-optimized coding. A lot of people are still pasting snippets back and forth because they want to understand every line that goes into their project. But another user pointed out that it is getting impossible to keep up with teammates who are just letting Claude Code run wild in the terminal.
Which leads to a slightly depressing tangent in the comments about the state of software quality. One developer admitted they just let the AI vibe code, pass it off to QA, and check out for the day because the business does not care about code quality anymore. And someone else replied, "It is amusing that you think businesses still have QA teams."
Ouch. But it highlights the trust we are putting into these native agent runners, which segues perfectly into our next story. An independent AI safety checker published a wire-level analysis of what xAI's Grok build CLI actually sends back to xAI. And Mike, it is a privacy nightmare.
It really is. The author routed Grok through a proxy to capture the traffic. They found that Grok transmits the contents of files it reads, including unredacted .env secrets files, directly to xAI. But it goes way beyond just the files the agent is reading for the task.
Right. The craziest part is that Grok packages up your entire repository, every tracked file plus the Git history, and uploads it as a Git bundle to a Google Cloud storage bucket. The author tested this on a 12 gigabyte repo of random files, told the agent not to read anything, and it still uploaded over 5 gigabytes of data in the background.
And there is no visible setting to stop this. Disabling the Improve the Model toggle does not turn off the trace upload. The Hacker News community was understandably furious. Someone provided a mitigation script to set environment variables to disable the telemetry, but the consensus is that native proprietary coding agents are inherently dangerous for privacy.
People in the comments were sharing their sandboxing setups. A lot of developers are using tools like Bubble Wrap or Docker to isolate their coding tools. They mount the working directory, make the Git folder read-only, hide sensitive directories, and restrict network access to only specific LLM provider hostnames.
It is a lot of hoops to jump through, but as one user pointed out, if you do not sandbox these tools, you are basically handing over your entire intellectual property and all your API keys every time you run a build command. It makes the case for using open source agents like OpenCode with API keys much stronger, even if the native runners feel a bit more polished.
Speaking of using AI to build things, our next story is a much more optimistic take. Terry Tao, the famous mathematician and Fields Medalist, wrote a blog post called Old and New Apps via Modern Coding Agents.
I loved this post. Terry talks about how back in 1999, he wrote all these Java applets to help visualize complex analysis and linear algebra for his students. But of course, Java applets died out and his visualizers broke. So over the last few days, he used an AI coding agent to port 24 of these old applets into modern JavaScript.
He said it only took a matter of hours, and the agent even found 2 bugs in his original 1999 code. He also used it to build a brand new visualization tool for special relativity that he had abandoned decades ago because the code complexity was just too high for him back then.
The Hacker News comments were full of people sharing similar experiences. Using LLMs to build those nice-to-have visualizations that you never had time for is one of their absolute best use cases. Because it doesn't have to be perfectly architected enterprise-grade code, it just has to look right and work in the browser.
My favorite comment on this thread said, Terry Tao using coding agents to build apps means we are one step away from a Fields Medalist asking an LLM why his Docker container will not start, just like the rest of us.
It really is the great equalizer. But it also sparked a serious conversation about the supply of software. If anyone from a math genius to a blue-collar worker can vibe code a custom application in a weekend, the supply of bespoke software is skyrocketing. People are building custom tools for their specific workflows instead of buying off-the-shelf SaaS products.
Which ties perfectly into our fourth story, a blog post from George Hotz, also known as GeoHot, titled, I Love LLMs, I Hate Hype. George is a legendary hacker, and he has been working in AI for a decade. He says he is absolutely giddy about the progress. He loves the new models and coding agents.
But he hates two things. First, the negative hype that says the window is closing, and if you are not in San Francisco, you are falling hopelessly behind. And second, the narrative that AI is going to suddenly turn into a superintelligence that takes over the world.
George argues that the frontier labs push this doomer narrative and the anti-open source arguments because they are terrified of commodification. He says AI progress is mostly due to Moore's Law and general computing progress, not some magic secret sauce at these specific labs. They just want to justify their massive valuations.
The Hacker News crowd really resonated with this. A user named Swell Joe pointed out that the frontier labs need everyone to answer yes to spending hundreds or thousands of dollars a month on token usage. But with open models and local models getting so good, that is a hard sell.
Exactly. George mentioned he set up a Linux box with OpenCode on a local GLM 5.2 model, and it works great. People in the comments were saying that at the current price points of frontier models, they are doing everything in their power to run local. The gap between local models and state-of-the-art cloud models is closing faster than the cloud models are advancing.
It is like the early days of AI image generation. DALL-E tried to lock it down and monetize it, but within a few years, open source models you could run on a consumer graphics card completely took over. We are seeing the exact same trajectory with large language models right now.
All right, let us step away from AI for our final story. This one is a fascinating piece of browser security research from the Scrapfly engineering blog. The title is, Since Chromium 148, math.tan is now fingerprintable to link underlying OS.
This is such a clever find. So, browser fingerprinting usually relies on things like canvas rendering, fonts, or WebGL, but this is a quieter signal that lives in the very last bits of a floating point number. If you run math.tan of 0.8 in your console, the exact string of decimals you get back depends on your operating system.
Right, because a genuine Mac runs that math through Apple's math library. Linux runs it through glibc. Windows uses the universal C runtime. They all trade a tiny fraction of precision for speed, but they do it slightly differently. On about a quarter of all inputs, they disagree by one unit in the last place, or ULP.
This is actually a recent regression. Until Chrome 148, the V8 JavaScript engine computed this function itself using a bundled port, so it returned the exact same bits on every OS. But in Chrome 148, they replaced it with the standard C++ math function, which reads the host OS library.
So if you are a bot trying to scrape a site and you spoof your user agent to say you are on a Mac, but your browser returns the Linux math bits for Tangent, the anti-bot system instantly knows you are lying and blocks you.
The author of the post works for Scrapfly, which builds browsers designed to bypass anti-bot systems. They had to go in and perfectly reproduce Apple's math library bit for bit, including the inputs where Apple rounds the wrong way, just to close this fingerprinting leak.
The Hacker News comments had a meta discussion about the article itself, because Scrapfly openly admits they draft their blog posts using AI, so their engineers can focus on the technical research rather than the prose. Some people appreciated the transparency, while others felt it made the post too fluffy and wished they had just posted the raw technical notes.
It also kicked off a massive debate about user agent headers. Several commentators argued that the HTTP user agent header was a mistake from the very beginning of the web. There is no legitimate need for a server to know what software the client is running, and it only exists for fingerprinting and gatekeeping at this point.
The counter-argument, of course, is that historically, browsers were so wildly incompatible that you had to serve different CSS and HTML depending on the browser just to make the site readable. But in 2026, with browsers being so standard, that argument holds a lot less weight.
It is a constant arms race between privacy advocates, bot makers, and anti-bot companies. And sometimes the battleground is literally the 15th decimal place of a trigonometry function.
That is all we have time for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to HNPod.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep your code sandboxed and double-check your math functions.
Have a great day.